1, 2, 1, 2, trying to record something and play it back to see if I know how to use this microphone. Okay.
My name is Carmen Bugan. I am a writer and a poet. I live in France, but I was born in Romania. My family and I left 25 years ago, when our country was still in the grip of the communist dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. My father, Ion Bugan, staged a one-man protest against Ceaușescu at a time when few dared to speak out. His decision changed our lives forever. We were just ordinary people. You won't find our names in the story of the Cold War. But there is a hidden chronicle of our lives. My apartment is piled high with our hidden history. Papers, photographs, transcripts of secret recordings. They are fragments from the thousands of files kept on us by Ceaușescu's secret police. And I'm returning at last to Romania with my parents, my brother and my sister as part of the BBC World Service Freedom Season. It will be the first time we've made such a trip together. This time I have my own microphone.
Well, it's quite late at night, and everyone is asleep, and I'm in a living room, reading through the files, as usual, at this time. The lovely thing about having a microphone is that I don't feel that I am alone.
I'm very nervous about this trip. I've been preparing, and I just don't know. Taking a trip together and getting everybody excited about it. I have no idea. But why not? Why not do it?
Bugan Ion. Bugan Ion.
That was my flight.
I am Ion Bugan. I am fighter. I fight against the dictatorship.
My name is Miara Bugan, my husband. He is not a very open person.
I am the middle child. My name is Loredana. I want to really understand him better.
I'm Catalin. I'm the youngest. We'll see how the trip unfolds and we'll see what happens. Best plan's not to have a plan, just roll with it.
Bucharest has changed so much. The dark and quiet city that we left behind is buzzing with restaurants and shops. My father walks with a shuffle now, white-haired and stooped. But imagine him 30 years ago, handsome, black-haired and full of anger. At the food shortages, rationing, at power cuts, the repression of Ceaușescu's Romania.
I am proud for that. I am proud because we made something for human rights, for people, for children. I serve my country, my nation. Yeah.
In the dead of night, he left home. Our village. Lock the door, he said. And that was all. He drove all the way here, to the very center.
March 10, 1983, Ion Bugan drove to Bucharest in his personal car after he fixed three placards with hostile words against the government on his car. He drove from Piazza Unirii into Boulevard 1848.
Dad's placards read, Army, justice, police, what do you defend? Liberty, were the Ceausescu family. He blew a football whistle and scattered leaflets saying, "Down with the dictator."
I have courage. Not scared me. I was very happy.
He was apprehended by the state organs and kept for interrogations since.
Dad was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
What made him do that? Because he was looking for freedom. He wants to be free, and this is like the price he paid for liberty. He decided to sacrifice his life, and I hate to say that, but our life too.
My mom, Miuara, was in hospital that day with her newborn baby, Catalin. He was dangerously ill, and she was waiting for Dad to visit.
Bugan Miuara is located in ward number 2 for mothers, and her son is in pavilion 3, box 2. She lives in Dragonești as a housewife. She is married to Bugan Ion. In order to find out certain information about their activities, we decided to infiltrate by admitting into the hospital an officer of our staff, Lieutenant Major Diaconasa Cecilia, together with her child. We will fit her with recording devices, the type TO.
I came home from school in our village that day to an empty house. I was 12 years old, and my sister Loredana, 11.
I didn't know anything. And when I came at home, two men knocked on the door, the front door, and I went to open the door. Two were free men. I think they were free men, actually. And they had black hats, and they had black leather long coats, and these were secret police.
They settled themselves in our armchairs, and they started smoking my parents' cigarettes. They started drinking my parents' coffee. From that day on, they filled the house with microphones. I saw them installing microphones all over the garage, all over the living room. We were ordered to keep the windows, the curtains open, so they can see inside. All the time.
TV/S/001072 from 10/09/1983. Number X2, X number 1 at 1MJ. Note: the source informs you that Bugan Miuara has communicated to her daughter Bugan Carmen from the commune of Dragonești, district of Galați. She is sorry that Carmen has remained home alone crying, but she tells her that everything will pass, and years from now, they will have reproaches to make to her father.
The question I think that still in my mind is, when you left, what were you in your mind? How much did he think of us? And you can't help but wonder. We could have been very badly hurt or even killed, and yet he did it.
I think we're crazy, but it's good. I think we will all see how much of it is untold, because we didn't talk at home, because we didn't talk in exile. We were too busy being immigrants and growing up and getting jobs. And
well, because you learn to forget. You spend this time trying, all this time trying to forget.
We are at the National Center for the Study of the Archives for the Securitate. There are 3 display cases. What is this? The radio and the camera, they call it. The radio and the camera machine. And this is to register the conversations, but also film. It looks like from the 1920s spy movies. If we can walk around here to the left. This one looks like a suitcase.
The antenna folds very nicely inside, so somebody could have been placing this in a car or in a garden or in a garage and left it there as a suitcase or in the airport, and would have basically sucked out all the sound, just swallowed all the sound from the building that they later could decipher.
We've come to meet the director of investigations, Jemina Nagut.
I'm an archival detective, probably.
That's the lift. Where are we going?
Second floor, yeah.
You see your letters, you see the conversations in your kitchen, you see pictures of your family, you see a secret life.
TV/S/001114 from 1909-1983. Number X2, X number 1 at IMJ. Note, the source informs you that Buganion communicated to Bugan Miwara to bring him his winter coat, two cotton bags, and his vest. He told her to send the children to school and sell everything she can.
So I'm Kathleen Bugan. I work for Nestle Waters. Then I'm also in the National Guard as an infantry officer. When I'm with my family, of course, I feel Romanian because we speak Romanian, eat Romanian food. But day to day, I mean, I'm pretty American. I was very young when all this happened, just listening and understanding. It's the first time I've actually seen them, right? But it's the first time we've actually thumbed through them. And the first time I've looked at them with my father.
We have children recruited to spy on their families. We have children being surveilled in elementary school. Even the informants were checked to be sure that they are trustworthy.
The information from our monitoring devices TO and S reveals that Bugan Miwara spends her time knitting clothes which she sells to make money to feed her children. Seeing that the informer Kalin often goes to help her with yard work, he will be retrained to find out the following: who visits her at home, after which they will be checked against the Securitate records held by us.
And we found the envelopes of the protest leaflets that Dad typed secretly at night in the years before the demonstration. Mom even helped him. They're here because people didn't rise up. They handed the leaflets into the Securitate.
And all the letter was returned to the security people. They were scared because everybody was scared.
This population went through a trauma and they are not completely recovered. Their social conduct is altered. Is modified. They are very suspicious. They are full of fear. You can imagine the amplitude, the scale of this paranoid project. A file, it's not only about the owner, I mean the main subject. It is also about his family, friends. We have kilometers of files. We have more than 3 million surveilling files here. This was Communist Romania.
I found really good what she said when she talked about why it is that people have remained suspicious. They gave us a bottle of water today to drink from. My father said, don't touch the water. I think we have, as a family, we've been damaged. We're suspicious of everyone. It's now 30 years later after the fires. I recognize it, but I can't stop it anyway. I am truly messed up in the head. The more you read through these files, the more paranoid you become about everyone, about everything. Who are these people here? What do they want from me, you know?
Dad was so handsome in the photos we found when he was young, cool in his leather jacket on his motorcycle. He was a radio repairman from the countryside, an ordinary working man. But Dad loved his radios. He tuned in to illegal foreign stations like Radio Free Europe.
A few miles outside of Munich is one of RFE's three transmitting stations. Altogether, there are 31 transmitters with a total power of over 2 million watts.
Dad imagined out there, in the space beyond the communist world, a place of plenty and decency.
That sound is a communist jammer at work.
This machine is recording the effect of jamming.
This is master control, the heart of the Munich studio complex.
Programs are radioed here from Munich and retransmitted behind the Iron Curtain in a fraction of a second.
He'd been trying to reach that world long before we were born. There are files on him as far back as 1961. He tried to escape Romania on a hijacked plane. He dreamed of building a hot air balloon. He trudged across Bulgaria in the snow and ran for the Turkish border.
We even know from the dossier exactly what was in his knapsack.
One compass. Two blankets.
One cigarette lighter.
One shaving brush.
One English-Romanian dictionary.
One shaver.
One bottle of beer.
One shaving soap.
One loaf.
One battery, 4.1.
My father spent 7 years in a hidden archipelago of jails, mobile prison trains, labor camps. Aiud, Jilava, Rahova. Even Romanians didn't know where they all were. There are still a few traces of that underworld. We are on our way to Jilava, an old fortress just outside Bucharest. It will be the first time any of us have seen inside Dad's other life. Dad says the prisoners were blindfolded with black glasses and transported in wagons disguised as bread vans or delivery trucks, so passers-by would never guess what was inside.
We are at the gates of Jilava prison. And we are waiting clearance to go inside.
I want to go on this prison to see inside because I want to understand my husband more. I wanted to find out exactly what he went through, where he suffered.
We are going down into the underground maze. When the doors, you can barely squeeze through.
Look at the walls are peeling off. The grates in the windows, they are rusty and cold.
The smell of mold is very strong. He was shackled and he was handcuffed. So they use the chains to hang him by the chains up to the wall, like you hang a coat to the wall. Hands behind the back, up on the wall as you hang a coat.
This room was almost 300-400 people hungry. And I said, it's a little bit of bread and soup, some cabbage. And she was very, very hungry, everybody. And the placard of potatoes, yeah.
This is graffiti done by prisoners. They're everywhere. Izbăvește-mă de vărsare de sânge, Dumnezeule. God, please save me from spilling blood. So strange to be here all together in Romania. The hills and forests we know, the red tin roofs, vineyards, staying in small hotels.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We used to sing together their one song a
lot.
My father is very
interested. I don't know my voice. Nu mai am pe nimeni, străbun rămasă, strunele calde, mi-amintesc de zilele.
Când eram de 20 de ani, vai ce gomnă viață mai duceam.
Tomorrow we're setting out to drive all the way across Romania to our village, far away in the east. When we left, we felt like outcasts.
Baluri, cafenele și scandaluri, Doamne, ac ce viață am adus.
The family and friends we left behind are still there, and everyone knows we're coming. They're waiting for us.
Să-mi văd anii tinereții, să-mi văd strălucirea vieții, Doamne, ac ce viață am adus. Să-mi văd anii tinereții, să-mi văd strălucirea vieții, Doamne, ac ce viață am adus.
Documentaries on the BBC World Service.
I am actually at the border between Mexico and the United States. This is where the real business of making it into the United States begins.
They walk for days across the Arizona desert. Some succeed, some are captured, and some die from exhaustion.
We've averaged 160 deaths a year that are either known to be migrants or suspected to be migrants.
And their identity is often a mystery.
So many of them just have the following name, John Doe or Jane Doe, the generic name given to unidentified remains.
The BBC's Mexico correspondent, Will Grant, meets the team trying to piece together their life stories.
Hundreds are dying out in the desert, and the families don't realize that they are part of something massive.
The missing migrants. Online at bbcworldservice.com.
My name is Carmen Bugan. The man who went looking for freedom is the story of my father, a dissident in communist Romania. But it is our story too, his wife and children.
I didn't know anything.
Join me, Carmen Bugan, in Romania after the news for the BBC World Service Freedom Season.
BBC News with Marion Marshall. Afghan officials say they've retaken full control of a building from which Taliban insurgents launched an attack on the Election Commission compound in Kabul, a week before the presidential election. Five gunmen, dressed as women wearing burqas, concealed automatic rifles and rocket-propelled grenades in their garments and overpowered guards. But after a four-hour battle with security forces, all the attackers were killed. The US Secretary of State John Kerry has abruptly cancelled his return home from the Middle East, changing his flight plan to go to Paris to meet his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, on Sunday. They're expected to discuss an American proposal to end the crisis in Ukraine, which calls for Russia to halt its military build-up on the border. A car bomb in Lebanon has hit an army checkpoint near the border with Syria. Local media says that three soldiers have been killed and several others wounded. It appears to have been a suicide attack. The National Assembly in Cuba has approved a bill aimed at making the communist-run island more attractive to foreign investors. The law sharply reduces taxes on profits to 15% from the current 30% and makes new investors exempt from paying taxes for their first 8 years of operation. The authorities in Nigeria say two British men and several Nigerians have been arrested in connection with an alleged attempt to steal oil. The Nigerian security forces say they arrested the British nationals after they tried to bribe a military officer to help them with the theft. Several hundred thousand people have marched through the Hungarian capital Budapest to express their support for the governing Fidesz party ahead of parliamentary elections next week. Addressing his supporters, who'd come from all over the country, Prime Minister Viktor Orban said he had turned Hungary from an old banger with a flat tyre into a racing car. Mr. Orban's opponents accuse him of undermining democracy. BBC World Service News.
I am Carmen Bogan, and I am on a journey through Romania with my family as part of the BBC Freedom Season. We are revisiting events 30 years ago, when my father went to prison for protesting against the communist dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. And the rest of us, his family, were left in the hands of the secret police. The road is getting bumpy now, and here is our village, Drăgănești.
My heart is here, on this village, on those people. I am so happy here. I do have all memory, my life, my childhood here, nice memory. I didn't want to leave the country, because I love my village, I still love my country. This is me. just me.
I carried so many buckets of water from here. All the watermelons that we used to throw here and chill them. And we used to wash the rugs outside.
This is our house. It's not our house anymore. It's 24 years ago, this month. We left the house. This yard, even small, we had so many flowers, we had nice tree. My husband did like to play with the kids.
I was very young. I mean, I kind of vaguely remember the layout.
Inventory of all goods, 1983. In the entrance room, a desk with a glass display case and drawers. Three figurines, an elephant, a lion, a little girl with two puppies. Reading books, framed photographs.
There was a veranda, you know, inside there was a kitchen, you know, you had a stove in the living room that was warm.
Four women's summer dresses.
So, I mean, I remember the layout, not the details, though.
Three soft carpets, three pillows, five rugs. Two woolen duvet.
The Securitate logged a complete inventory. Our life in a list.
A hanger in the shape of a tree. This document is made in three copies. Police authority, signatures and stamps.
Years later, everyone still knows us. Our school is across the street from our house,
I at school here, I remember my teacher, he had me stand up and in front of class saying, oh, your father protested, what a crazy man, he was stupid for doing what he was doing. Kids would say, oh, the daughter of a prisoner. It wasn't the daughter of the anti-communist, it was the criminal. And I felt very lonely. I was timid, pretty much. I wanted to be around Carmen all the time. And I felt like it was so hard to accomplish anything.
Nick Ustoika was our headmaster. He taught here since 1953 and knows everyone. No one understands better than Mr. Stoica what the village thought about Dad.
Pentru că eu bănuiam pe domnul Bugan de față aici, pe Nelu, că el mai are totuși.
I could tell you things that would shock you. I wouldn't want them recorded. But obviously people would say about Bugan that he must have been insane. What did he think? He thought he could bring them down? Couldn't he see that the communists, Ceaușescu, are so powerful that there was nothing he could do?
Deci în anul 1980, nu? 80-81, când am început noi.
Da, da, da.
Prin anul 1980...
I knew Mr. Stoica and Dad were friends, but I didn't know what they got up to. They're saying that they both listened to foreign radio stations. Radio Free Europe and others spoke directly to their listeners in communist Eastern Europe.
As dusk becomes night, in a field on... from the Iron Curtain, amid great secrecy, a group of volunteers begins filling thousands of balloons with leaflets. Leaflet with a message that begins, a new wind is blowing, a new hope is stirring. Friends of freedom in other lands have found a new way to reach you. From cylinders of hydrogen gas, the message-stuffed balloons are inflated according to careful scientific calculation of the speed and direction of the winds. These pillow-shaped balloons, made of plastic, explode over their target, scattering messages from great heights.
Far away in Draganești, there were no special balloons or gas, but Dad and Mr. Stoica could improvise. They bought some kids' Christmas tree balloons. Then they cut up a sheet of zinc with scissors and mixed it in a bottle with hydrochloric acid.
And the gas from the bottle would inflate the balloon.
Am mers cu bicicletele prin vie și am ajuns tocmai la Corozel, în Valea Corozelului. Și era o dimineață.
We went to Corozel Valley on our bicycles. It was a misty morning. I remember as if it were yesterday. We attached 8 or 10 sheets of paper to the first balloon and it drifted off in the mist.
The first balloons are released on winds of freedom.
And then we saw it. We saw the sheets falling through the air and floating to the ground. So we said, that's it, we did it. We go to Bucharest with our manifestos. Let's go to Bucharest on the night train.
L-am lăsat, hai să nu zic că am fost laș.
I wouldn't say I was a coward, but because I had my family at home, my wife and my son, and I thought, if I get arrested, I can bear it. But what will my wife and my child do? No, for my son, I won't do it.
So Dad went to Bucharest by himself and to prison. Mr. Stoica kept his silence until today, and no one ever guessed that teacher, party member, pillar of the community had ever lived a secret life.
De multe ori când vorbesc și acum,
I have visited all the countries in the world. I can see myself in China, in Japan, in California. I can see them in my mind, even if I have never really seen them. I'm in Chicago, in Detroit, in Washington, in Dallas. I am everywhere.
Sunt permanent, peste tot. Și la Chicago, și la Detroit, și la Washington, și la Dallas. Dar unde? Unde nu sunt? Sunt peste tot.
Every year, once a year, we came to see my husband in prison because we were not allowed more for 20 minutes only. When we got to the waiting room, so many people
and was a glass one. So my husband could not touch Catalin, my son, and he didn't see him since he was 1 month old, left at the hospital. It was heartbreaking.
The source informs you that Buganion from Strada Moriș 78 Alba District thanks his son Catalin for the parcel and expresses his regret that his son is growing up without a father. 4 years have now passed.
The day my father came home
was 11 o'clock at night, close to 11. I did not know the day when he comes. I was very happy, but also shocked.
Dad walked back through our door in the suit he'd worn for the protest. It smelled of prison mold and cigarette smoke.
Everybody was happy. Everybody was, oh, Mr. Bugan, you are home. We are so glad to see you. And they used to come with the huge bags to bring all the goodies, and was a real celebration.
0045 hours. The objective and his wife arrive home. We register an atmosphere of joy coming from the two children in the room. Note of information. For the next while, the objective cuddles his little son. Date, February 12, 1988. Urgent. 0600 hours. The objective listens to the news from Radio Free Europe. The children sleep. He is listening by himself. At 07:35, Carmen leaves the house. The objective is reciting the following verses to his son. Let us not, by the will of the Holy God, crave blood instead of land. When we will reach the end of patience, everything by turn will end. Son, is that all? Objective. I no longer know this poem. I would like to live alone, not with people, because I do not trust them. Son, is this what is meant by loneliness? Objective, yes.
It was better, but it was very difficult. It was nice to have him home, but then my father was not the same man I knew. He was confused. I remember he had almost had forgotten how to be a normal person. Just when he came from prison, my mom came home with 2 watermelons, and I knew he hasn't tasted watermelons for those 5 years in prison. My father was sleeping in one of the back bedrooms. So here it was me, all excited, wanting to go and wake up my father. So I opened the door. I didn't think I was loud, and I said, "Hey, Dad." I didn't quite whisper. I spoke in my normal voice. I think I did touch his shoulder, and he jumped. He jumped so hard, and he turned at me, and he yelled at me, he's like, "Don't you ever do that again." He flew off the handle so badly.
How could we ever have thought that things would be back to normal? There was no normal. My father had served his time, but the Securitate closed in even more tightly.
Anything could happen in any day. I would cross the street and a black car would just go speeding at me for no reason. One night, I remember somebody was stomping on a roof. Boom, 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 boom on a roof. A violent kind of thing, and you're thinking, the house is going to give in. What is it? It was also windy outside. But I remember we pretended that it was the wind. We said, "Oh, what a bad wind." And when my mother said, come inside the bed. And we cowered under the blankets, and we stayed and we trembled all night long.
Bugan, you criminal! I am going to kill you!
Death threats at 2, 3 in the morning. Who were these people? Who should we hide from? Who could protect us?
Street secret. X unique. Date 20/05/1989. Indicative 1/BI. Barbu. At hour 1:32, we could hear someone trying the door that leads to the room equipped with listening devices. The door did not open, after which we could hear the footsteps of someone walking away and the insistent barking of the dog as at a person who is a stranger to the house. Transcribed.
We realized we had to leave Romania. I managed to slip out of the village to the United States Embassy in Bucharest. We were promised American visas and a new life on the other side of the world. Very few people counted us as friends by then. But my Aunt Balasha and late Uncle Dan always stood by us.
Okay.
Uncle Dan even helped us get ready for the life he imagined was ahead.
And next to the armchair was the record player with the old records. This is where we danced.
Never let me go.
He told us, you need to know how to dance to Elvis Presley. You need to know how to tango to waltz.
And I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill.
He said, a girl who doesn't know the difference between a tango and a waltz is a disgrace.
I love you, and I always will.
The girl always walks on the inside of the street, and the boy always walks on the outside to protect her, and he always
opens the
door for you.
He was very anxious when we left the country. He said, I'll miss you a lot. Don't forget where you are. Don't forget us.
And we'll never part.
All the conversations we had with the American embassy to get out, that we had from his phone, thinking that his phone was not tapped, they're all transcribed. And I found in a file that he was actually writing reports on us. And if you look at the files, you can construe him as an informer who wanted to protect us, and this is why he took on the job. Or you can look at him in a situation of a relative being forced to give information because we're coming so much to the house. And this is where, 30 years later, is very nebulous. But there is no way, you know, that's... I would suspect that if the file said that he was an informer, I would spit on that and I would say he was my uncle.
And I
we must visit the church. It's the heart of the village. Everyone will be here today. We didn't expect this. The priest is asking us to come up to the front to welcome us home.
De asta în America, unde suntem după ce am ajuns noi, nu aveam biserică. Ne întâlneam câțiva români prin biserică.
What I said, I am in America, but it's very hard for me to be so far from you, from all of you. And I did assure them, which is true. Even I knew those people, they give information to the police secret, because they had to. And I found something in a dossier. I have at home 3,000 pages.
I love all of you. And if I did something wrong for all of you, I want to be forgiven. They had tears in their eyes. I cannot hate them. And I love them. I do.
Yodem Nivaram, Katavi, Karmin, Turidar, Pali, Vidor, Chukutur, Kansantem, Anandam, Pachuni, Vidadan, the Sadatak, and the Kanti, Munas, Bodhi, the Pazaskan, Umar, Sadi,
Mutan, Prayas.
Everybody, they just want to touch us at least a little bit.
Do you remember this? I'm the mother of your best friend.
This girl, do you remember me? How you used to braid my hair?
Sănătate, la revedere.
When we left to America, it was very hard to say goodbye, to turn the key to the house. The last 24 hours were absolutely awful from the secret police around here. They said, well, be careful what you say, who you speak with. Our hand is very long and we can reach you anywhere you are. So don't you think you are safe? And then they told my parents, look at your girls now. Once you go to America, they will become prostitutes. Your kids will be nothing. The train was almost moving and finally we managed to get into the train with our heavy suitcases. When we approach the border between Romania and Yugoslavia, we couldn't believe it. I remember when we crossed the border and my father had pointed out, he said, look, this is the fence. We are crossing now. Italy, Rome. It was winter, it was cold. My first plane, that was scary and exciting. And we arrived in New York. And from there, we took another plane to go to Detroit. We're very disappointed. My father thought that many people would be waiting and cheering for him, and nothing had happened. And then from Detroit to Grand Rapids, and finally in Grand Rapids, a group of people came to my father and said, Bugan, 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 going around. And my father said, Bugan, Sint Bugan, meaning I am Bugan.
It was Christmas 1989. And behind us, the Romanian Revolution exploded. Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife, Elena, were forced from power and shot. Communism in Eastern Europe was crumbling. When we were just an ordinary family, before the events that would change our lives forever, we used to pile into Dad's car and catch the ferry across the Danube to the Black Sea on holiday. We wanted to see the beach before going our separate ways this time. It's funny how even the files don't seem so dark now. We found some awful things, but good ones too. Uncle Dan, the list of everything in our house, down to the ornaments on our shelves. That lion, I remember it now.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, we used to run on the beach and see the sun rise. I wish, you know, I know I'm getting old, I'm sad, but I wish to turn the time back.
I just saw here like several schools of small fish, and I remember with my father playing in the water and trying to catch them. He loved to throw us in the water and we were screaming. He was a very much fun dad.
It's very, very nice day.
It's sunny. It's beautiful day. It is. Everybody is happy. I am old now. It's okay.
I did realize freedom. Slowly, I got rid of fear.
This trip gave me an opportunity to understand my father better. Visiting the prisons, in the end, I cannot help but be proud of him. I think he tried to make a difference in this world in his own way, and he truly didn't do it for him or just for us as a family. He did something to make things better for everyone, or at least he tried. It saddens me to hear that people say, I think what he did was not worth it, the suffering. I think it was very much worth it. I'm proud of my father and of my family. This trip back in time, I'm happy I took it. I'm happy to be who I am.
And so, we are leaving Romania. We're taking the journey Dad made across the border back in 1965, before we were born. It was illegal to cross then. This was a grim spot in those days. Barbed wire, armed guards. But not now. A few sheds, farm buildings, some villagers curious, happy to see us.
So many people used to escape across the border here, yes, but not now. Now you can go wherever you want and do whatever you want.
And so this friendly passerby, who once might have shot Dad, invited us for lunch.
I served in the border guards, and I know all the territory around here. But don't worry about that now. God bless you, all of you. Let's hope we meet again. Come back sometime. We'll talk and laugh. Maybe we'll cook one of those geese. Do come again. I'll be here.
The man who went looking for freedom was presented by me, Carmen Bugan, as part of the BBC World Service Freedom Season. Our sound engineer was Christine Bennett. The executive producer was Kirsty Reed.
Vlad Georgescu played the secret agent.
Our pianist was Iris Perry. The program was written and produced by Monica Whitlock. The BBC.